marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. As Christians, we are marching upward to Zion. We have a destination. We have a place we are going to. It is called heaven. There are rules of engagement. There are rules we must live by. There are rules we must obey. And we must obey those rules in order to get to that destination called Zion. On Mount Zion, the Bible declares, there shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness, and the people of God shall possess their possession. There are rules of engagement. There are rules, laws, principles that we must abide by in order to get to that final destination. Will you get there? Will you get there? The songwriter says that when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder one day, will you be there? That is the question we must ask ourselves day in and day out. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is The Calling. The Calling. I will read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 24. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 24. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. From the scripture we've just read, we realize that when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, that was when he took up the message that John was preaching and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." It was during this time that we are told in scripture that Jesus began calling his first disciples, and in calling them, he says, "Come, follow me." John the Baptist had a theme, and the theme was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Report got to Jesus that John the Baptist had been put in prison. And so it meant that the preaching that John the Baptist was doing had been cut short. And so another must take over. The mantle must fall on another. And so Jesus Christ, who came after John the Baptist, took up the refrain, took up the theme and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And it was during that time, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee along Naphtali and Zebulun, that his ministry began, and he began to call his disciples. And in calling the disciples, he said, "Come, follow me. Come, follow me." The calling of the disciples came in a very simple command, but fully loaded.
This command has two instructions in them. One command, come, follow me, but has two instructions in them. The first instruction is, come. 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 Beloved, many of us sitting here have come to the Lord and we have tasted of the Lord and seen that He is good. But how about our family members, our friends, our co-workers, the world at large, and all who have not come to Jesus and who do not know Him as Lord and Savior? Someone must go and tell about Jesus and bring them to Jesus. One day, once upon a time, you and I heard the message of salvation. And we obeyed the voice of the scriptures and the voice of the Lord. And we surrendered our lives unto Jesus. And we obeyed that instruction. And we came. Today we are in church because we have obeyed that calling and we have come to Christ. What about your father? What about your mother? What about your uncle, your auntie, cousins, nephews, nieces, co-workers, friends? How do they come? Someone must go out there and tell them about Jesus and tell them to come. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 to 15. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 to 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The Bible is telling us that how can the people out there hear the word of God unless it is preached unto them? And how can it be preached unless someone is sent? Jesus Christ tells us that, go, make disciples of all men, and I will be with you until the end of the age. Someone must go and tell his mother about Jesus. Someone must go and tell his father about Jesus. Someone must go and tell their co-workers about Jesus. We must go out there and tell the world about Jesus. When you are saved, that is not the end of the matter. Bible tells us that when one is saved, the whole household is saved. When one is saved, it's a starting point for the salvation of your family members. When one is saved, it is a starting point of the salvation of your friends, of your co-workers. You are instructed to become the light of the world. You are instructed to become the salt of the world. The scripture I have just read poses four questions to the believer. And the believer must answer that question for himself. I will not go into the four questions. But the bottom line is that, and the good news must be preached to the sinner before they can enter into the gate of salvation. The good news of Jesus Christ must be preached to every single person before Christ returns. Jesus said, and this word of the Lord shall be preached to every nation. Today the word of God is being preached on radio, on television, on internet. Every kind of electronic media and print media, we see the preaching of the word there. We come to church, we hear the word. We watch television, the word is there. We listen to radio, the word is there. Internet, the word is there. Go to Africa, the word is being preached in buses and trains and every kind of space. But the question is, what part are you playing in bringing in the sheep? The songwriter says that, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. The sheep are those who are not yet in the sheepfold. The sheep are those who are not yet in Christ. The sheep are the sinners out there who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Whom have you brought to Christ ever since you became a Christian? Since the day you lifted up your hands and said, Jesus is Lord. Ever since the day you lifted up your hands and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. How many people have you brought to Christ? How many people have you told about the love of God? How many people have you told that Jesus is Lord? It's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. It's been 15 years. What have you done for Jesus? One day you will give an account of your life on this earth. And Bible declares that Jesus is coming speedily. He has his reward in his hand. What reward will he give to you? What have you done for him? He says that he will put the goats on his left and the sheep on his right. And to the goats he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I knew you not. Very dangerous statement. And to those on his right, he says that, enter into eternal rest, thou good and faithful servants. Good and faithful servants. Are you being good? Are you being faithful to the cause of preaching the good news of Jesus and propagating the kingdom of God and bringing people to Christ? Or are you those on his left, or will you one day become of those on his left who to whom he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Are you a worker of iniquity, or are you good and faithful? Jesus demands, the word of the Lord demands that we go out there and bring people into Christ. We depopulate hell and populate heaven. The mandate is ours because we are soldiers of Christ. As soldiers, it is not our mandate to sit in camp and polish our boots and play games. Our mandate is to go out there and engage in battle, engage the enemy in battle, and rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the falling, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Snatch them from hell's fire. Rescue the perishing. Many are perishing. Go to the hospitals. Go to the mental homes. Go to the old people's homes. Walk along the streets. There are homeless people, even in Japan. What are you doing to bring people to Christ? To take care of the orphans. To take care of the homeless. To take care of the widows. That is your duty as Christians. Jesus one day said that, on that day, I will tell you, as long as you did not do it for these little ones, you did not do it for me. When I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was thirsty, you did not give me water to drink. When I was naked, you did not clothe me. As long as you did not do it for these ones, you did not do it for me. And to those on his right, he says them, as long as you did it for your brother, you did it for me. Because Jesus lives in you, and Jesus lives in me. And as long as I show goodness to you, I have shown goodness to the Jesus in you. When I show love to you, I show love to the Jesus in you. When I show kindness to you, I show kindness to the Jesus in you. Jesus is in you, Jesus is in me. If I give you a cup of water because of who you are, I give a cup of water to the Jesus in you. I give you good. One day, Jesus will tell me, because you did it for him, you did it for me. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus is in you. And so when I do it for my brother, I do it for my sister, I am doing it unto the Lord. Amen. Let us be circumspect in our lives and the lives that we are living unto the Lord. Because one day, the judge of all the world will come and demand an accounting of us. At the end of every accounting year, at the end of every business year, every company must draw up the accounts. And they must put the debits, and they must put the credits, and there must be a balance. The Lord will demand an accounting of your life one day. But the question is, what answer shall you give? What answer will you give? What response do you have to give to the Lord? We have a mandate to fill the hall by a set period. Inviting people to church is good. It's important. But that alone is not enough. We must go a step further and let the sinner know the one he is coming to and the one he is committing to. The message of salvation is very simple. Salvation is about the birth, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ onto the right-hand side of God the Father. The birth, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. When you go out there to preach the word of God, feet to the street, when your feet goes out there to talk to your mother, to talk to your father, your grandma, your aunt, your uncle, nephews, nieces, colleagues, when you go out there to tell the people about Christ, there are a few scriptures that you can use that can come in handy. And you must know these scriptures in your heart. It must not be head knowledge. It must be in your heart. Because Bible declares that, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You must hide the word of God in your heart and know the word for yourself. Don't go out on the street and quote a scripture and somebody ask you, where is it? And you're now looking for the scripture. It must be in your heart. The first scripture is John chapter 3 verse 16. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it doesn't matter who you are, tall, short, fat, slim, black, white, yellow, blue, green, brown, whosoever believes in him, that is the mark, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. It must be at your fingertips. You must know this scripture by heart and by mind and be able to say it without looking into the scriptures. We may not always have the convenience of carrying a Bible with us. Back in Africa, you go evangelizing and you carry a Bible and you knock on the door and they said, are they Jehovah Witnesses? Everybody's running away from Jehovah Witnesses. And so if you're carrying a smaller Bible and the word of God is on your heart, you are easily able to witness without opening the Bible. And the Spirit of God will do his work as he ought to. Hallelujah. First, another scripture is 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 says this, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. We must know this scripture and use it to evangelize and bring people to Christ even as our feet go through the street. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You must know this scripture and tell the people that all have sinned. Nobody is exempt. All have sinned and fallen short of the standards of God, the demands of God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. Bible declares that God is of a purer eye than to behold sin. God cannot look at sin. That is why when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he turned his back because he cannot look at sin. And that is why there is a gulf between yourself and God when you sin. For the wages of sin is death. We must tell the people the truth. We must not hide the truth. We must tell them the truth and let them know the condition of their state. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, it's a free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. God is giving all mankind a free gift. That free gift is eternal life. But he has put this free gift in Jesus Christ. And so when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you embrace Jesus, you have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. There is a way that seems right unto man. Everything men and women do, they think that I am doing the right thing. Some people do not even want correction, counsel, advice. They set themselves on their own path and do as they please. Even some Christians. They live as they want to live and talk as they want to talk and behave as they want to behave. But Bible says that all things are permissible, but not all things are expedient. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof, the end. It is the end that matters, not the beginning. We can all start a race in one line, but at the end of the day, everybody can start before you, but at the end of the line, who finishes first? But the end thereof is destruction. It is the end that matters, not the beginning, not the middle. The beginning is good, the middle is good, it's the journey, but the end that matters. Will you take the crown? Will you take the prize? There is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is destruction. The next scripture says this. Next scripture, please. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto man to die but once, and after death, judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's not up here, sorry. Hebrews 9, 27. There, okay, fine. Hebrews 9, 27 says that it is appointed unto man to die but once, and after death, judgment. It is appointed on every single person on this earth to die once, not twice, not thrice, not going back and coming back as a cockroach or as a fly or as a lizard. No. It is appointed unto man to die once, and after death, judgment. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And I believe that this scripture is the gateway to salvation. The gateway to entering into the kingdom of God, the gateway to become a Christian. It says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there are two organs in our body that play a key role in our salvation, in a human being entering into the kingdom of God. That is our mouth and our heart. Bible declares that we must believe in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead. That is why I said that the salvation message is about the birth, the death, the resurrection, and ascension into heaven of Christ Jesus. So we must believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. After believing in your heart, that is not the end of it. Many a times people hear the message of salvation, they have goose pimples all over them, and he preached the message, and I felt so, oh Jesus, Jesus is here, I'm a Christian. No. After believing in your heart, we hear the message, you believe in your heart, you must take one more step to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. He that believes in his heart that God raised Christ from the dead, Bible declares that you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. So confessing with your mouth is also key to salvation. You believe in your heart, and what you believe in your heart, you speak it out and declare that Jesus, you are Lord. I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my life. Come, be my Lord and Savior. From today, I commit my life into your hands. Order my steps aright. Instruct me and teach me the way I should go. Counsel me and watch over me. Let my light shine. Let your word be a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Instruct me, teach me, show me the way. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. This indeed is the gateway to entering into the kingdom of God, where after believing in your heart, You take another step of confessing with your mouth, and then you now belong to Christ. You have obeyed his voice. You have fulfilled the part of the cover of the instruction which says, come. So by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, you have fulfilled the first part of the instruction which says, come. Which has brought us here today. Which will one day, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, bring others also to Christ. So Jesus went to the seaside and said to Andrew and to Peter, come. To James and to John, come. And he has said to us, come. And we have come. But there are many who are yet to come. And so when we use these scriptures to tell them about salvation, they will come. But when they come, it does not end there. Because Jesus said, come and follow me. Come, follow me. So the first part of the instruction is come. After we come, what must we do? Part two, follow me. Follow me. Basically, we are required to follow by simply making time on our own to read the scriptures and to pray and to commune with God. Come. When you come, the only way you can follow Christ, the only basic way that every Christian is required to follow Christ is to read his Bible and to pray. It is called the quiet time. In 24 hours, make time for God. Open this Bible. Don't make this Bible a Sunday Bible. When you come to church on Sunday, you pick up the Bible. When you get home, you throw it somewhere until the following morning, Sunday morning, look for it and dust it off and bring it to church again. Don't let this Bible be a Sunday Bible. You must make time to open the Bible. You must know what his will is. If you want to become friends with somebody, you must get close to the person. Call the person. Visit the person. Have lunch with the person. Know the person's likes and dislikes. If you want to know the likes and dislikes of Christ, you must open the Bible and read the Bible for yourself. Don't come to Sunday morning and hear the preaching of the Word of God and know a little. No, you must know more. You must open the Bible for yourself. Make time. I know Japan is a very busy place. We virtually don't have time for anything. But you must make time in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, at least once a day. Open the Bible. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Make time for this Word of God. Open this Bible and know the will of God. Know what Christ likes and dislikes. Bible declares that thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The only way we can live and obey Christ is when we know his word and his word is in our heart. The only way the Bible can move from these pages into our heart is when our eyes read this word. When our eyes read the word, we memorize the scripture. After memorizing the scripture, we meditate on the scripture. As we meditate on the scripture enters into our heart. It becomes a part of our life. Somebody wakes you up at 12 midnight and says, what does 1 Peter 3:13 say? You can easily quote the scripture and say that 1 Peter 3:13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of Christ? You must know the scripture for every situation in your life and for your own reading and information. Don't depend on Sunday scripture reading to know the word of God. Know God for yourself. Know his word for yourself. Know his likes and dislikes for yourself. Hallelujah. Follow me. And you must also pray and commune with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 13 says that, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It is demanded and required of every Christian to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and get to know God better and better in a time of private, in a time of quiet. And that is the only way we can follow Christ. Through his word and through communion with him and through obeying what he tells us to do. Follow me. And when he told them, come, and they came, and he said, follow me, they followed him, and he said, I will make you fishers of men. They were fishermen. You and I are not fishermen. We are marketers. We are teachers. We are engineers. We are lawyers. He will use our profession to fish men unto himself. Jesus will use your profession to fish men unto himself. He will use your profession, your chalk, your marker, your script, that which you do, he will use it as a tool to bring men unto himself and to convince men. Just as Moses put his rod down and the magicians of Pharaoh put their rod down and the rod of Moses swallowed up every argument, swallowed up every idea, swallowed up everything that was ungodly and he took it up again. God will use that which is in your hand to discomfit every argument and everything that is ungodly and will use that to bring people to Christ. But you must know his word and you must come to him and you must follow him. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. Our mandate is to follow him, to come to him and follow him. And we have leaders in the church who have a mandate as well to ensure that they guide us on the path of righteousness. But make sure you are following Christ who called you and said, come, follow me. Jesus said, come, follow me. Paul again had the authority and audacity, said, follow me as I follow Christ. Our leaders have a mandate to lead us to Christ. And our leaders have a mandate to follow Christ as we also follow them. But make sure that your leader is following Christ. And make sure that as you are leading, following after your leader, once in a while you look on the left, once in a while you look on the right, make sure you are going in the right direction. And make sure on your own you also follow Christ. If you are following Christ and your leader is following Christ, you will know it. Because the same spirit that is in him is in you. The spirit of God that is in your leader, that same spirit is in you. Unless, of course, you are not born again. You are not a Christian. So if your leader is following Christ, you will know it. Then you can confidently follow your leader. Our leaders have a mandate to lead us to Christ, for us to follow them. Just as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But basically, follow Christ. Follow Christ. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. Can I have the scripture, please? As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Matthew chapter 20. The whole scripture, please. All right, let's forget. Let me come here. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew chapter 20. Sorry, I think I made a mistake over there. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. As Jesus, 29:34, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Jesus was passing by and the crowd was following him. Everybody is following somebody for a reason. Some of the people were following him because of the things he was saying. Some were following him because of their belly. Some were following him because of what they will get. Everybody has a purpose and a reason why they follow an idea. They follow a custom. They follow a person. They become a part of a group. But as Jesus was passing by, two blind men were sitting by the wayside. And as they were sitting by the wayside, they heard the noise and the hustle and the bustle. And they said, who is passing by? And somebody said, Jesus is passing by. And they rose up and said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the people who were following Christ for their selfish means and their selfish end, they said, shush, shut up, don't talk. We are following the master. The master is going. And they shouted more and louder. They said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the Bible says, declared that Jesus stopped. Beloved, in prayer, when you are consistent, when you're consistent and persistent, Jesus will hear your voice. Don't pray once and leave it at that. Pray a second time. Pray a third time. Pray a fourth time. Keep on praying every day. God will hear you. Bible declares that Daniel prayed from the very first day he set out to pray. He prayed for 21 days because it took 21 days for the prince of the air to be defeated. It took 21 days for the prince of the air to be defeated. Lift up your voice and shout unto God in your closet. Cry unto God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Seek to know him. Call upon him. He will hear you. Even amidst the noise of the crowd. There's so much noise today. The noise of movies, of the music industry, of the film industry, of so much demands on our lives. So much noise around us. But we must be able to go into our closet and call upon our God. Because Bible declares that he who sees in secret will answer you. He who sees in secret will answer you. Go into secret. Close your door as the Bible instructs us. When you want to pray, go into your room in your quiet and close the door and talk to your Father who is unseen. And he who sees in the unseen will answer you. He will answer you. And so, after he attended to the two blind men, Bible declares that they followed him. When you pray and God gives you your heart's desire, he gives you the husband you're looking for, the wife you're looking for, the fruit of the womb you're looking for, the job you're looking for, the accommodation you're looking for, whatever it is that you're looking for, the healing that you're looking for, when he gives it to you, don't forget, follow him. Don't stay stagnant in your condition and say that I have received of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then you begin to backslide. Be careful that when God answers your prayers, you don't become discontent. You don't become ungrateful. After God hears your prayer, make sure that you continue to follow him. Maybe you are not following him because of a need on your heart. But beloved, I urge you, I prod you, I prompt you, I beseech you by the mercies of God. God will answer your prayer. I speak this to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I decree and I declare to you that every desire on your heart, God will answer it. And when God answers your desire, please follow him. He knows the way to Zion. Follow him. It is Jesus who knows the way. That is why the two blind men joined the crowd and followed him. They also had their motive and their desire to follow Christ because Christ had healed them. Bible declares that when Jesus went to the house of Peter, Peter's mother-in-law was sick and he touched her hand and she lifted up and the fever left her and she began to attend to him. When God answers your prayer and takes away the burden from your life, don't forget to attend to Jesus. Don't forget to attend to God. And one way you can attend to God is take your feet to the streets. Take your feet to the streets. Don't sit in your office. Don't sit in your home. Don't sit in the company of friends and remain there and be comfortable in your comfort zone. Take your feet to the street. The street is a very uncomfortable place for everybody. People feel shy. Oh my God, what if my schoolmates come see me standing by the street? Oh my God, what if my uncle passes by the train station and sees me in the street and asks me, Yuko, what are you doing here? And you must be bold and tell him, I am talking about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't forget to follow Jesus and take your feet to the street. We have a mandate to fill this hole. But we must go out there and tell the people about Christ. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. Shall we pray? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Our Father and our God, we thank You for Your word this morning. Help us to trust and obey. You have given a command that we should come and follow You. Even as we are seated here, we commit our lives into Your hands, Lord, asking that if in any way we have not followed Your word, we have not followed Your leading, please forgive us. We are asking that You help us even in our weakness. Help us in our doubts. Help us to come all over again. Help us to follow You all over again. Help us to give us that boldness and courage to tell others about Christ, to take our feet to the street and witness to other people and bring them to Christ, that them all, that together with us we shall be in one sheepfold. We give You praise and we give You glory. We give You worship and we give You honor. We lift Your name high because You alone are God and there is none like unto You. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. May Your will be done in heaven as it is on earth. May Your will be done in OIC. May Your will be done in this nation. May the purpose and plans of God permeate. We pray and we superimpose the will of God, the purpose of God upon this city and upon this nation in the mighty name of Jesus. May the purpose and plans of God be done in this nation. May the purpose and plans of God be established in this city. May the purpose and plans of God be established in this church. May the purpose and plans of God be established in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. We commit our various vocations into Your hands. We commit our families into Your hands. We commit our health into Your hands. Our weaknesses, our emotions, our concerns, our doubts. We carry everything to You this morning in prayer, asking that You help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, because You are the true friend. That is why we bring it to You. Help us, Lord. Unburden us, Lord. Answer us, Lord, that we might follow You genuinely in the name of Jesus. We thank You. We bless You. We give You praise and we give You glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are prayed with thanksgiving. Amen.